This morning's a first for me. It's never happened before that I should stand up and preach from here on the same topic as I have before. Doug was saying to Colin White last week, I try very hard not to give you the same topic, that I keep giving you different ones. And then I said, Doug, by the way, a year ago, I spoke about Mary and the angel Gabriel. And so since all our sermons are recorded and put on the website, John, you can just press play and I'll sit down and relax. No? Well, the good thing about preaching and life in general, I suppose, is that every time it's different. I remember when I was studying at Warwick that the ancient Greeks, one of them said, you can never step into the same river twice. And life's like that, and preaching's like that. When you step back into it, it's different. It's changed already. Things have moved on and flowed around you, and you need to keep up. You need to see what's different and where the Spirit of God is moving in different ways. I'm different to 12 months ago. My life has changed. I just started a new job a year ago, and now it feels like it's been forever. Maybe you've changed as well. Certainly Canley Church has changed. There are new faces here that hadn't joined us a year ago, and there are some who are no longer with us, that were with us a year ago. But the beauty of Scripture and the beauty of the Christmas story in particular is what they call the superabundance, the overflowing meaning of truth and everything that's in this story, that there's always fresh things coming out that we can find and learn from and apply to us. And so every time we come back to it, there's something different, something new for us. Christmas this year is different. In our family, anyway, as Nathaniel grows up, he's getting to understand it a bit more. He understands the things that happen every year now. He's seen it before and remembers, and he remembers Santa. Definitely remembers Santa. And he's got a very cute way of going, ho, 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 Merry Christmas. But we're also trying to get him to remember about Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus and the story from the Bible of Christmas, not just the man in the red coat. But as he understands it more, the meaning expands and he gets to see new sides to it, new aspects to the meaning. And so that expands it for us as well. But it made me think, have I got to the stage of life where Christmas is just about the kids? It's not about anything else other than trying to help the children to understand and enjoy it. And then what are the different ways that we see Christmas as just for? I guess there's times when people seem to make Christmas, well, it's just about me, me, me. And there's an advert on the TV that Harvey Nichols have made this year. I don't know if anyone's seen it, where they're all sat around at Christmas unwrapping their presents and opens up. What is this? It's a bath plug. From Harvey Nichols? Nobody's ever bought you something from Harvey Nichols. And on the label it says that I spent it all on myself. Is that what Christmas is?
No.
Sometimes the cynics, and I have to say there's a little bit of me in this, just see Christmas as, well, the shops are really cashing in, aren't they? There's gift sets. You've got to get a gift set for somebody. And there's all this expensive tat that you just have to buy. And then once Christmas is done, it's sales. Even before Christmas is done, it's sales. And just mop up whatever money's left over and whatever's left on the limit of your credit card. Mop that up and make sure you've got nothing left over. And the shops can say, thank you very much. Shareholders will be happy. And the CEO will get champagne at the end of year party. Shop workers will get a bonus, of course, but they've been run off their feet for months, so they probably deserve it. Is that what it's about? So who is Christmas really for? Well, interestingly, Luke throughout, and he starts off in the way he means to go on through his Gospel of Luke and the Acts of the Apostles, which were written by the same author, we believe. He wants to make this story about Jesus, not about the rich and powerful, but actually the people who are on the edge of society. It's the people who are excluded, people who are left out, people who are struggling to get by, maybe the people who are sick. It's people with no influence, no money and no power at all. Maybe those who are old and frail or young and helpless. For Luke, those are the important ones. If you read chapter 1 and chapter 2, you'll find that the rich and powerful people, the emperors and kings and governors, are just there as window dressing and context. It says, in those days, Caesar Augustus, and then forget about him. And in the time of King Herod, he's not really interested in these people. The governor of Quirinius. If you read through this, these people are just, by the way, these people around. But now here's the really important stuff. These people are the one that matter, ones that matter. In Luke chapter 2, it's the stinking shepherds that nobody trusted. And if you're not quite sure how Middle Eastern first century people thought of shepherds, think about the attitude people here and now have towards gypsies and travelling community. That's what they thought of shepherds. There's a couple of ancients who seem to pretty much live at the temple, maybe because they've got nowhere else to go. And that's who Luke wants to focus the story on. In chapter 1, we already met a couple who, it seems, couldn't afford to retire. They're old, but they've got no children, no one to look after them, no one to take care of them in their old age. And so Zachariah and Elizabeth are just struggling to get by, I think. And today's story, Mary, is a teenage girl, and I think she's stuck in this limbo between childhood and marriage. She's got no choice, she's got no options. Her life has been set for her. This is what's happening. What's going to happen? These are the important people that Luke wants to talk about. And then, boom, there's an angel in the room. And Mary's like, well, Luke's very polite. He says she was greatly troubled. I think she jumped halfway out of her skin. I don't think she knew what was going on. She can't take it in. He's got a message for her. Who could possibly get their head around this? She's like, me? Highly favoured. That's what the angel says. Highly favoured. Me at the centre of God's plans to redeem the cosmos. The mother of a promised king who's going to bring freedom that will never end to our people. Who could get their head around that? Mary doesn't need to do anything, though. The angel comes to her. He doesn't quiz her on her theology, check that she's got all her beliefs lined up correctly, make sure she's understood, you know, everything that's happened before, and she can get all of the prophets in order. Not interested in that. He doesn't ask her to say some holy prayer or some magical words, and he doesn't ask her to do some religious act that will make her ready for this. He just says, here it is. This is God's message to you. He just tells her that God loves her, that he's noticed her, that he's going to bless her. I really can't say I blame Mary for having questions, but it seems she's only got one little question. She doesn't follow it up. And the angel gives her evidence that's going to help her to take this in. And he also, interestingly, gives her support. He gives her Elizabeth, her relative. He says, Elizabeth is going to have a baby, and everybody thought that was impossible. And so Mary goes to her. She's a support for Mary. She's community. She's somebody who can maybe begin to help her understand what is going on. And while Mary is obviously quite unique, she's a one-off. There's only one person who's had a message like this ever. You're a virgin, you're going to have a baby, and that baby's going to be the Son of God. Nobody's ever heard that. But there's something, some reflection in there of what God's message to us is at Christmas. And whether you think you're important or not, and most of us probably would say no. Not really. In the grand scheme of things, no, I'm not very important. But actually, that's the kind of person that this message comes to. Somebody who realizes that they're not important. They don't expect things to happen for them. But God's message to us this Christmas is that he loves us. He favors us. He's seen us. We're his number one. The same message that the angel brought to Mary. There's nothing that we need to do for this message except say yes and say, yes, I want to be part of this. And how's it going to happen? How is God really going to bless us and change us and do things in our lives this Christmas? Well, in fact, it's exactly the same thing. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will hover over you. That's what God wants to do for us this Christmas. But that isn't the end of it. Hearing the message and saying, yes, I want to be a part of this, isn't the end of it. It certainly wasn't for Mary. She, well, Adam's song, I always think of the songs that he sang around, that he taught us around Christmas and we sang together. Nothing will ever be the same again. For Mary, that was completely true. Her life totally changed. Nothing will ever be the same again. And if we become a part of this, if we say yes to what God is saying to us this Christmas, nothing will ever be the same again. It will change us forever. And there's one plus as well. You're not alone. You're not alone in this. There's lots of people here and lots of people around in the wider Christian community who have said yes. Who said yes to being a part of what God's doing. Who said yes to being changed by Jesus. Who said yes to being a place that God's love can enter into the world. And so I hope this Christmas that we can hear the angel's words to us. That we can listen and say, yes, I want to be God's servant. I want this to happen for me. And so I've used the message translation, just slightly changed the words just a tiny bit to reflect what God's message to us is this Christmas. Good morning. You're beautiful with God's beauty, beautiful inside and out. God is with you. You have nothing to fear. God has a surprise for you. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the highest will hover over you. And the new life born in you will be called holy. Happy Christmas. Grace and peace be with all of you.